that, because one of the things we're going to talk about is the heart. Jesus, how Jesus wants our heart. And that was the first thing. I don't think that was his very first parable, but the parable of the sowers, that was the first thing we looked about that has to do with the heart. Okay, Luke chapter 14. Susan Dunbar, would you read verse 25 through 27.
Now they both went to them and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
Okay. So first of all, what is Jesus talking about? The phrase, if any man come to me, is there one word that you thought of that could be? Or what did y'all have for number one?
A follower.
A follower.
His disciple.
Disciple. The essence of discipleship is giving Christ first place. And we're going to look at that more.
I also put, you know, call him Lord, you know, mm-hmm. call him on his name, you know, and talk about, and stay preached on. If you're going to come to him and call him your master and Lord, you know, you will follow him, but it has to do with attitude and heart.
And for some of us, we're going to look at, it's going to cost some of us more than others. Depending on your situation. And so he uses the word to hate. Hate his father and mother, his wife and children, brothers and sisters. So to say we're supposed to hate our family, does that contradict the rest of the Bible? It does, doesn't it? So what does hate mean in this context?
Loveless.
To love less. What did you say, Susan?
Same thing.
Anybody else?
My margin has a footnote saying by comparison of his love for me. So he's got to be first, in other words. You mm-hmm. hate by comparison to the way you feel about me. I have to be first.
Yeah.
He has lower esteem and attitude of importance.
Mm-hmm.
What's first?
Okay, I had it refers to desiring something less than something else. And that's what y'all all said. We have to desire Jesus more than anything else. I felt like this was appropriate in Jesus' day, since the decision to follow Jesus could mean rejection by family. And persecution, even to the point of death. Remember this, we're not going to go there, but remember the scriptures in Peter. He talks a lot about suffering, and also in Hebrews. And in 2 Thessalonians 1:5, Paul was talking, and he was talking to the Christians, and he was talking about the kingdom, and he says, for which you are also suffering. That was 2 Thessalonians 1:5. What does following Christ call for in verse 30?
Consider the cost.
We're going to talk about commitment in several of these passages. It calls for ultimate commitment. This isn't I'll try it, and if I don't like it, I'll do something else. That's not what Jesus wants from us. As we've talked about, he wants our heart. He wants us. He wants a strong commitment. In 962, which we're going to look at the end of the lesson, this isn't something, we're going to look at the tower in a minute, this isn't something we take lightly. In fact, Pat, would you read verse 28 through 33?
For which of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observed it began to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. On what king would he set out to meet another king in battle will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough for 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions.
Okay. And we also want to notice in verse 26, Jesus says, be my disciple. And also in verse, did I say 26? And also in verse 27. And then at the end, after Jesus gets through talking, he says again, you cannot be my disciple if you're not going to do this. So he gives two examples. I ask you what we can learn from the analogy of the tower. We read that they mocked the person that built the tower, and he laid the foundation, but then he was not able to see it. So what did y'all have for number four?
Make plans to finish it.
Make plans to finish it. It's a serious commitment. We have to take it seriously. Anybody else on the tower?
When we understand when it comes to Christ, we must understand that Christ must come for all else. I like what Jesus said in Matthew 16:25. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever wishes to lose his life for my sake will find it. Mm-hmm. And so it's, whom I come to serve, myself, Christ. And so often I think of the parable of the sower, like we were talking about, it's the hearts. And so many people are joyous to hear the gospel, and I have to be careful, that I'm just not all caught up in the joy of being saved, that I don't have to understand and purpose and plan and carry through what the choices that I'm going to make. We get messed sometimes because we don't think of that. What's this doing? No one's perfect. My granddaughter included on Facebook this morning. It's a good cause. Sometimes we get caught up in good causes and good things, and we compromise what we put our approval. And so she's going to have to talk to Grandma. But and I need talking to sometime. And we have to be careful. But this counting the cost, sometimes I think people are want to have one foot in the old life, and one foot in the night. They don't want to let go.
And can't we have a foot in both places? No, we all know that. No, we cannot do that. So their mocking was resulting from the inability to complete the task. And this parable is not intended to discourage, but encourage us to think about what we're doing. Think about being a disciple, as Jesus said. And as we've already been talking about, this is an undertaking. It's not frivolity of spirit. It's a serious thing. We need to have the determination that y'all have been talking about. We don't want to have failure. And then as number five in the next example, what would happen if the king going to war did not consider his situation? We noticed he sat down and he considered whether or not he had enough men to go to war and to meet this situation. And then after that, you see, he sent a delegation to try to make peace. So he did, he examined all his options, and he gave it great thought. He gave it great consideration. So what would happen if the king going to war would not have done this?
He lost, it would be failure.
Yes, that's exactly what I had. He might have lost. So he's assessing his ability to take care of this. Anything else on the king?
I thought it was interesting when he took counsel. You know, when we're considering and trying to have our will, you know, what we're going to do, we need to take counsel. We need to take counsel. Well, we don't want to expand Jesus' story
right here.
But, you know, I just thought, and am I strong enough? I'm not strong enough to fight the devil by myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm just thinking those thoughts. I don't
think
Jesus is talking about that. But we need to take counsel, and he's given us the armor to win the battle. And maybe we need to go and get a hold of that and everything, you know, and what's it going to take for me to face this and to consider. And I have to have some mental honesty. You know, I might not, like I said, I might not be doing right. I may not be appropriately equipped to go forward. So I need to step back, check the Word of God, pray, ask counsel.
Ephesians 6.
And take counsel of good godly people, you know, and listen.
You know, when you talk about taking counsel, I'm sure we all think of Rehoboam. What would have been different if he would have listened to the older men? They gave him, they were older, he should have realized, and I realize a lot of that was providence, part of God's plan, but still, if he would have listened to the older men and realized that they are older and they've had experiences and they're wiser, but he chose not to do that. And talk about a mess. Look at verse 33. So likewise, he tells the story of the tower, he tells the story of the king, and then he says, likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. This does not mean, this is in context, this does not mean we have to give up a bank account, we have to give up a home, we have to give up a car, everything. This is in context. It has to do with being in the world and everything that we've talked about. Also, when we think of building the tower, think about how we spend our time and how we spend our money. Do we squander it on other things, or can we use it? We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, to be of service and to help someone. Jesus says we to count the cost. Okay, look at Matthew 10.
Follows the one about the dinner and the master inviting guests to dinner and all the excuses that everybody gave, you know, they had to do something before going to the dinner or anniversary this and that and the other. And Jesus told them right quick, you know, they would be left out. They weren't going to the dinner if they didn't have all the excuses and not bring the person to come to the dinner.
Do we ever have our excuses? All the time. I don't have time. I'm too busy. I'd rather sit in my chair and relax. Linda, would you read verse 34 through 39?
Of Matthew 10. 34 through 39. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth, and I did not come to bring peace, but sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and who has lost his life for my sake will find it.
Okay, he says worthy three times. That made me think of, I forgot to look it up, I think it's Ephesians 4, where it says, walk in the manner worthy of the calling in which you've been called. I wanted to talk about, have you ever had someone who has rejected, and we all have this, we have it in our family, we have friends, rejected the message even to the point of betrayal. We just studied in our John class about Jesus and Judas. And what's interesting is the way that, the different way that Peter handled it and the way that Judas handled it. Jesus repented and he became very effective in the kingdom. And then this reading in verse 37. Talking about being worthy. If we make the choice not to be the right kind of disciple, in 2 Corinthians 5:10, what is our end? We all know this. Well, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus, there's different verbs we could use. Can we say Jesus insists that he is given first place in all of our relationships? As Amanda was talking about, we have to give our hearts to Christ. That's what he wants. I was also thinking about different choices. It's really not a choice. Sometimes we have family come in from out of town. Some of us have had family that were not Christians. And, you know, life is full of unexpected things. And we want to be sure and make the right choice. Sometimes they come in and sometimes it's a Sunday and they may not want to go to church with you. We still need to do the right thing. In verse 38, Jesus is talking about the kind of commitment that we would be willing to die for something. We're probably never going to be asked to have to die for something, but that's the kind of commitment we need to have. And self-seeking in verse 39 is self-losing. The person that makes his own life the chief object and endeavor. If this is our main purpose, and we know people like this in the world, my life, my job, my goals, my what I want to get, how much I need to work. If our focus is on our life, we shall lose those higher spiritual joys, which God calls life, and that's eternal life. Anything on Matthew? Turn to Luke 9. This is a parallel passage that Linda was talking about in Matthew 16. Would you read verse 23 through 27?
And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake,
he is the one who will save him. For what is the man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some of those standing here who shall not taste death until they see the kingdom of God.
You see that a lot of these passages are saying basically the same thing. And what's interesting to me is how often Jesus talked about it. He talked about it. I would say this is a lot. And when we see something like that in the Bible, we think that's because it was needed. And we need it too. And so following Jesus involves suffering for some people. Again, we must be willing to give up our claims to our possessions, some of our relationships. That's probably not true of us because you're here today, but some people, Linda was talking about having a foot here and a foot there. Sometimes we try to have relationships that are not good for us, and then it makes it more difficult for us. Sometimes there's situations that we have to learn to say no to. We have to give up the strongest cravings of the earthly nature. The cross is a symbol for duty which is to be formed daily at any cost, even that of the most painful death, which Jesus did. The disciple must follow Jesus both as to his teaching and example. This must be done daily, not just once. I didn't write the scripture down, but we've looked at it before where Paul's talking and he says, follow me, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So we want to follow Christ's teachings and we want to follow his example. And Paul and the apostles also. Any comments on that? Okay, I want to just mention Mark 8 is another scripture. I don't think we have time to look at it, but it says the same thing. And what's interesting, let's turn there for just a minute, because I want to look at what's above and see where Peter's focus was at that time. Mark chapter 8. In verse 31, Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Jesus spoke this word openly. So then Peter took Jesus aside and rebuked him. And so when he turned around and looked at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. And this is what we've been talking about. We want to be mindful of the things of God. And so verse 34 through 38, is another scripture where Jesus talks about what we need to do. And verse 37 says, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Sadly, we all know people that have given their soul in exchange for the kind of life they want to live. Okay.
I may do just great most of the time with all those passages above, but if I get to verse 38, whoever's ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous thing, am I going to speak up against it, or am I going to sit there and be quiet and go on? You know, I'm going to do right, and I'm going to, you know, and I'm not going to go along with that, but, you know, am I ashamed of what the truth is to stand up and say, that's not right. You need not to do that. You know, I find myself guilty so often, that right there, you know, so, you know, we think you kind of, I pat myself on the back sometimes, you know, I'm giving up this, Lord, and I'm giving up that, Lord, you know, and I'm for good, and I think we all have, you know, that's good, you know, I can do a whole lot better.
Many people don't like confrontation, and we have to get over that. Okay, Luke 9. Aunt, would you read 57 through 62? No, I'm sorry, you read. Linda, would you read 57 through 62?
I read.
You read. You read. Carol?
What? 57 through 62?
Yes.
As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no room to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first we would need to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.
Okay. Matthew 8:18-22 is a parallel passage, but in Matthew, he only uses one example, where Luke uses these three examples. Does 57 remind you of anybody when he said, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go? Does that remind you of anybody?
Peter. Even to the cross, Lord.
Yes. So this man volunteered to follow Jesus without reservation. His problem was that he had not realistically counted the cost of discipleship, and that's what we're talking about today. He was enthusiastic, but would that be enough to carry him through the trials that lay ahead? Question number 6. What was Jesus trying to tell the scribe in verse 58?
He was trying to encourage him to be aware of what his circumstances were going to be if he followed him.
Okay.
Because he it was very clear that he didn't have any place to lay his head. And he wanted people to understand that that's what they were facing, that that's what they might be up against, and for them, and for them to be prepared.
Yeah.
He had no physical riches. This is a scribe who wanted to follow him. The scribes probably used to honor and riches. And he was going to have to probably give up those things because he's going to follow Jesus. He's like the Pharisees were afraid to follow Jesus, and the scribes were afraid to follow Jesus because they'd be thrown out of the synagogue. And so Jesus is probably telling him, I don't have any earthly riches. I don't, you know, it's not an easy road. And you, if you follow me, you may be in the same boat.
That's right. That's what I saw. As y'all said, he had no comforts at home. And number 7, what is Jesus dealing with in verse 59-61? Would y'all have to number 7?
Priorities.
Following Christ should be our first goal.
Yes. And this man right now did have comforts of home. We don't know what they were, but we know it was better than what Jesus had. He was counting the cost of discipleship, as y'all said. And Jesus put emphasis, as Sally said, that a disciple must have clear priorities. That's what we've been talking about this whole time. The call of God must have priority over everything else. Anything else on number 7? Number 8, what is verse 62 talking about? Being fit for the kingdom.
We cannot look back once we've started our Christian life. We have to just forge ahead and not think about what we could have been, what we could have been, what we could have done, what other things we could have. And we just have to refuse that and not think about that.
Okay. What would happen if a farmer was plowing land and he was always looking back? What would happen to his rows?
Pretty straight.
Yeah. So that's what Jesus, the example that Jesus is using. Philippians 3:13-14 says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul never forgot that. He always had his priorities straight. And Paul suffered a lot for that, a lot more than we'll ever have to suffer. So again, this is a serious commitment. Also, I have putting a hand to the plow means engaging in a task. We have tasks. There's much to do in serving the kingdom. And we need to engage in these tasks. Anything else? Okay. Oh, I also thought about let's look at I think it's Hebrews 12. This is one of the passages that every time I say I love this scripture, we love all the scripture, but I guess there are some that really stand out and have a lot to say. After chapter 11, we have all the people of faith, and then the writer says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin in which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Is this not what we've been talking about? We need to lay aside every weight that ensnares us. There are so many things. This actually happened to me recently. Doug was going to do something, and I wanted to go with him. And I was thinking, oh, can we do it later? Can we do it in a few minutes? Of all things, I want to sit down and rest. But I got up and did it. And so this can happen to us. We need to do something when it needs to be done. We need to not put it off, and we need to take care of serving.
You know, have great comfort in what Jesus told John to write in Revelation 7 chapter. He says, I know your deeds and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. And then further down, of course, he finds some fault with his people, and then he said, repent. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. He who overcomes and who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, so forth and so forth. And he says, and I will give him the morning star. Of course, in Revelation 2 and 3, he also talks about give them a sound of life and an eternal life, and those kind of things to the churches. But it's not for naught. And not only that, Jesus knows, you know, and he's there to help us. And we just need to remember.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, that's everything I have. We'll break until sometime in January, probably the middle of January, I'm not sure, when we'll start back up.